Brother Ray, prayer on my behalf. God's power is spoken of throughout the Bible. It not only describes who He is, but it describes the acts that He does. When you look at Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6, the word in some versions there is written as omnipotent. Other versions may use the word mighty. But in Revelation 19 verse 6, John says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sounds of many waters and the sounds of mighty thunders, thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." Again, the idea that this powerful and this mighty being is described as the sounds of many waters and the sounds of mighty thunders, describing something about the character or the nature of God. Omni simply means all. And potent means having great power, so He has all power. It's unlimited power. He's not constrained by anything. So He's omnipotent. 2 Peter 3, begin with verse 5. Peter there says, "For this they willingly forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire unto judgment and the son of perdition of ungodly man." So it simply says, Peter says, that the world that we now see was simply spoken into existence. The power of God. It says they are now preserved, and some versions may read they are kept in store by the same word that created them. And again, it adds out that when God spoke, as Larry dealt some of these claims, when He spoke, it stood eternity. It's not something that was needful for God to speak every day. "I will keep you in store. I will reserve you." Once it spoke, it become law. So that's the mighty word, if you are the power of God, or how powerful our God is. In Psalms chapter 33, sometimes I think we fail to understand the God that we serve, because we cannot grasp an individual whose power is unlimited or unconstrained, that he has all power, he can do everything, is at his disposal. But in Psalms chapter 33, beginning with verse 6, again, words that Peter spoke of, says, "By the word of God the heavens were made, and the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. And again, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." So this word that He spoke that produced the heavens and the earth, it says, because of that, let the earth stand in awe of this great God. That simply by speaking, things come into existence. Psalms chapter 148. Verse 1, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. From the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all you His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created." Again, because of that, we are to give our Father praise, because He spoke, things came into existence, the heights, the angels, the hosts, the sun and moon, the stars, and even us who are created in the God of it, we are to praise Him because of His powerfulness, His omnipotence, if you will. In Job chapter 37, we find this about a powerful God that we serve. In Job chapter 37, beginning with verse 10. It says, "By the breath of God, ice is given, and the broad waters are frozen." Again, by the breath, by the power of God. It talks about ice is given. The waters are frozen. "Also with moisture, He saturates the thick clouds. He scatters His bright clouds. They swirl about, being turned by His guidance. It's nothing that's going on in this providence of God that is not under His power. He speaks, the waters are frozen. He saturates the clouds. The clouds turn at His command. They do whatever He commands them on the whole face of the earth, or on the face of the whole earth. He causes it to come for what purpose? Either for correction or for His mercy. His power is given for a correction. He corrects us. When we look at the children of Israel, the great power that God showed, it was for correction. And so we understand how great God is. Job chapter 36, in verse 22, we find this is said about God's power. Behold, God is exalted by His power. It's who God is, His power. He is exalted by His power. Verse 23, He who has assigned Him His way, or who has said, you have done wrong. Again, man. When you look at Job chapter 28, we find another about God's power. When you look at verse 24, says, for He looks to the ends of the earth, and He sees the whole heaven. Again, this powerful God, nothing is hidden from Him. He's all powerful. He's all seeing. That nothing on this earth or anywhere that He has created is hid from His understanding or His eyes or His knowledge. He talks about that He sees the whole heaven to establish the way of the wind. The wind is under God's power. He says the wind has weight. He establishes the weight of a wind. He apportions the waters by measures. And He made a law for the rain. The rain just does not fall until it gets the clouds empty. God has made a law for how much rain falls upon this earth. It's under His control. It's under His power. And He's made a path for the thunderbolts. When you see the lightning, you think that just happened where they strike? They strike where God's power tells them to strike. They're under His control, the thunderbolts. He saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it. Indeed, He searched it out. And to man He said, behold, the fear of the Lord. And that wisdom to depart from evil is understanding. Again, God's power is to fear that man may fear Him. And that He is in awe of Him. And we understand the wrath of God and what the wrath of God can do. That again, it is to teach, if you will, correction. Genesis chapter 7. Concerning the power of God. In verse 11, there, dealing with the flood, it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, On that day, all the fountains of the great deep was broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened by God's power. He set the flood, that He opens the deeps up, and water came out. He opens the heavens up, and the rain fell, and man was destroyed by His power. He rid the earth of sin, except for Noah and his family. Genesis 17, verse 1. God there is talking to Abraham. He says, walk before me. And he says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. He said to Abraham, I am Almighty God. He was simply describing who He was. And because of that, He told Abraham, you walk before me and be blameless. And again, it's applications we can make today. Do we truly understand the greatness of the God that we serve? When you look at the plagues in the book of Exodus and the purpose that they served in Exodus chapter 3, they were designed not only to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, but they were designed to teach Pharaoh about whom the God of heaven was. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, God there talking to Moses says, for I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand. So he said, I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, by all his power. He was going to strike Egypt and Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And that it was to teach Pharaoh who God was, how great the God of heaven was. When you go over to chapter 9 and verse 27, there after the seventh plague, it is recorded that Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous and my people and I are wicked. Again, by God's power, Pharaoh uttered these words. He says, entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty, and notice how he describes these, no more mighty thunderings in hell. Some versions may render the voices of God. Pharaoh is referring to that there may be no more voices, these mighty voices of God in sending these thunderings in hell. That Pharaoh understood the mighty power of God. When you look at 19 and verse 16, as they are on the mountains, and God ascends there upon the mountain. If you look at verse 16, then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, and all the people trembled. Why? The power of God ascended upon this mountain. It says they trembled. When you look at us today, how do you consider the power of God in your life? Is it just something you read, then move on? Or does it cause you to tremble at how powerful our God is? Exodus 14. As they are leaving Egypt, verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong wind. The Lord. Everything is kept in store by his word. And so he sent a strong wind. He simply spoke it. And the Red Sea divided. As you go on to read verses 26 on through, that he, by the same word, he caused the water to come back. And at the time that the Egyptian and their chariots were in the water, that God destroyed them because of his omnipotence. Mark related in Jonah chapter 3, Wednesday night, when you look at verse 4, it says, and Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. What was Jonah telling Nineveh? The power of God is going to descend. Again, the power of God is for correction. Okay? And because of that, they proclaimed the fast. Why? Because they understood the power of God. It was for correction, and they corrected those things, if you will. In a class on Thursday night, we've been studying a little bit about Calvinism. It's not been the focus of that, but we made application of the teachings of Calvinism, and it simply teaches that a man is totally depraved and cannot by his own power understand God's word or do anything by himself to save himself. And what they teach that God must act upon your mind before you can understand what his will is. So if I asked you the question, what are they saying? How does God change a person's mind? It's through his omnipotence. Okay? He changes what man cannot change. And they use certain verses for this. If you will, turn to Jeremiah chapter 13. In verse 23, when Jeremiah there says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard its spots? And he says, then may you also do good who are accustomed to evil. And what they claim is that it's impossible for a leopard or an Ethiopian to change either the spot or the color. And because man is so depraved, it is impossible for man to understand God's Word. So God, through His omnipotence, changes a man's mind. He works His power to change man's mind. And then he can understand, or they can understand, the gospel. And so they're allowing, if you will, God's omnipotence for the change. When you look at Romans 1 verse 16 in the scripture reading, he is not dealing with God's omnipotence, the power there of the gospel. I thought, and Ray and I talked some, I thought Larry's class went good this morning with thoughts that I had when Ray deals with in Psalms about man's heart and the parts that make up an individual's heart. And we talked a little bit of individuals. Do we see that we serve God with our whole heart, or is that on display, or do we have examples of that in the New Testament? Yes, I think we do. We have those examples in Hebrews chapter 11 of people who serve God with their whole heart. I think we see it in the apostles of what they went through, the death they knew that was coming, because they served God with their intellect, their emotions, their willpower, and their conscience. They endured those things, that they truly served God with their whole heart. If I was to ask you this morning, as Mark stood before you and read those scriptures from the book of Hebrews, what did it do for your heart? Was it just words that were read? No emotions whatsoever from you? That's what the gospel in Romans 1:16 is dealing with. Okay? As we're going to look. When you turn back, as the song that Larry led, 157. Those words, did you look at them as we sang that song? Did it provoke you, or did it warm you, or stimulate you in any way? Or is it just a song that we sung, as we always sang? That song should tell us our condition of why God so loved the world that He sent His Son, John 3:16. The word "so" there means to the extent that God loved the world. If we can understand what it means to love God with our whole heart, if we understand how God loved us, then that's how we love God. That's the whole heart. The question is, do we do that? Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a one as I? That's the gospel. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree, amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Is our love to God beyond degree? Or again, is it just something we sing, something we read, and does not stir our emotions in any way towards what we have done to God? Will not the sun in darkness hide and shut His glories in when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin? But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. To your Lord I give myself away. That's all that I can do. Do we recognize how great that God's love was for us? Romans 1:16 says that love is the power of God. It's the same gospel that is talked about in verse 1 when it says that Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. God the Father was the originator of the gospel. In chapter 3 and verse 21, it's referred to as the righteousness of God. In this gospel is laws or words that are spoken because of God's love for us that we can be made right. For those sins that we committed in the songs that we sang. In verse 17, it's referred to as the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. But He also tells us in verse 18, in this same righteousness or in this same gospel, God's wrath is revealed. Again, that this power here is not referring to God's omnipotent power, as we read from those Old Testament scriptures. His power is His great love and grace that He had for us. that it was wholly unmerited by man and is expressed in the gift of His Son that He sent, God's love. And do we likewise have that extent of love for God? Love is the strongest power in the world. And God's love in Jesus Christ is the greatest love of all. All of this power of love and His grace are found in the gospel. God's love forever is in the gospel. It will be there forever. His love for us. God and the saving word cannot be separated from each other. And God's omnipotence cannot save the first sinner. If man is going to be saved, he's going to be saved through the gospel and God's love. That Paul deals with in 1 Corinthians 15 when he talks about the death, burial, and resurrection. When you look at the death, burial, and resurrection, again, does it stir any emotion in you? Or is it just something we read to fill a spot in time for our services or the Lord's Supper? His grace and power and the love of the gospel is what saves us. That's His power. His power is in His Word that was made possible through Him sending His Son, the degree of which God loved us. God's grace produced the gospel as the means by which the sinner heart will be turned. If God's love does not turn your heart to serve Him, there's nothing will. That's the power. The salvation is bestowed upon every man because God loved you. It's the power by which sinners are saved. It's that which can turn the sinner's heart. God's great love. And it appeals to man's heart, the very intellect of man, his emotions, his conscience, as Ray talks about, the very inmost being of us, the gospel appeals to. And again, I ask as we close, what does the gospel mean to you? When you turn to Psalms chapter 22, and think of this as we look at a verse or two here concerning Christ, Psalms 22 and verse 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of man and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. He's talking about Christ, how he came to this earth and he was ridiculed by man. He was reproached. He is a reproach to man. When you look at verse 14, I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. He's describing the suffering that our Savior went through. How does that make you feel? Does it stir your emotions in any way? If that don't, then the gospel is no benefit to you because that is the gospel. It's God's love and what His Son went through. Verse 16, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked enclosed me. They pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. The great love that God had. John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. The gospel. It's God's power. It's God's love. And his power is contained in His great love for you and I. Again, what about you as far as me as we love God? Is it to the same extent or degree that God loved us? We understand when this was preached on Pentecost that those people understood the great love that God had for them. When Peter tells those on Pentecost, in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know for sure that God made this Jesus whom you crucified. They knew what they done. They seen Him upon the cross and all that He went through. They understood the great suffering that He made for their behalf. It says because of that, they were cut or they were pricked to the heart. Does the suffering of Christ prick you to the heart? Or is your heart so callous it has no effect? Folks, that's the gospel. It's the power of God that He manifests through His Son. And the love that He had for you and me. And that's what turns a person's heart, as it did those on Pentecost. Because of that, Peter said, all you need to do is repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And the Lord will add you to the church. Have you done that this morning? How do you view God? How do you view the gospel? God's not going to change your mind by His omnipotence. He's going to change your mind by His love that He manifests to us. If you're subject to the gospel call anyway, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.